Evening, everyone. If you would turn over to, let's try 368. Haven't sang that in a while. I have helped me along there. 368. God will take care of you. 368. Okay. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. Through days of toil, when your heart's fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the task, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful day in your house today. We heard a wonderful message to encourage us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to just hear the word and hold it to ourselves, Lord, but help us to hide it in our hearts and keep it on our minds so that we might use it, Lord, in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for this time tonight. We look forward to hearing your word again tonight. Bless the pastor as he brings us the message. Be with us, Lord. Fill our cup. Lord, just help us to praise you and give you all the glory and honor you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. 6:17. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosened the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have built in him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his being that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Yes. 485. 485. I'm not sure if I know this. Maybe after we start. Oh, okay. Let's see. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. One more time. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Amen. Amen. 200. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the long there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love. We'll have one more and then we'll have our offering. 533. You don't know it? Know the scripture, but the song. I don't read music, so if I don't know the harmony or melody, then I don't. It's really nice, but I need somebody to help me with it. I don't know it. Okay, okay, we'll practice it. You want to pick another one, Connie? Brother Ramel, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face that chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Brother Romero. Yes.
Our worship service, Lord, to remember you, Lord, to return unto you, Lord, a portion of what you have given us, for these tithes and these offerings, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Brother Fred, you ready? Amen.
Song is refers, I believe, to the scripture in John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
It's called I'm Free. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by him. For the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free indeed. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from that dull, sinful life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot how foolish I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free indeed. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free indeed.
To write another verse for that song, though. I think it ought to have more than two verses to it. Thank you, Brother Fred. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Skip down to verse 14, if you will, and we continue reading. This is Jesus speaking. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's back in Numbers chapter 21, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this is when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, this ruler of the Jews. So he was a Jew. He was a ruler of the Jews. He may have been a rabbi at the local synagogue. I don't know, but he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee by religion. We know that. And he was a learned man, an educated, well-educated man, who was respected by the people. He was not an ignorant and unlearned man, as is said of Peter and Andrew and James and John, you know, who were those Galilean fishermen. But the thing about it is, Nicodemus, as smart as he was, knew nothing at all about the new birth. Nothing. Nothing about being born again. And so far as I know, and if you have further information on this, share it with me. But so far as I know, this is the first time that subject of the new birth has been brought up. And I would ask you tonight, point blank, do you understand the new birth? Do you understand it? And the question is it really something to be understood, or is it something to be experienced? I might know all about it, but if I've never been born again, I might as well be ignorant of it. I'm no better off than the person who knows nothing about it. Now, have you ever had anyone ask you, what is the difference between being saved and being born again? What's the difference? How do you answer them? Do you know? Nicodemus was completely ignorant of this new birth concept that Jesus is now presenting. And Jesus said that no one, nada, can enter into the kingdom of God except he be born again. So I guess it's pretty important, isn't it? In fact, it's the most important thing in this world, wouldn't you say? If you can't get into heaven without it, that makes it important. And Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I think today that a lot of people want to go to heaven, and probably they expect to go to heaven when they die. But they don't know where it is or how to get there. They're in complete ignorance of that. They just know that, well, you got to die first. That's it. You got to die first. They don't know how to prepare themselves for that life after death, do we? Well, it's our responsibility as Christians to tell people and to get them ready for that day, for it's appointed unto man once to die. Most people today, this is my estimation of it anyway, most people today think that going to heaven depends on how you live. Whether you're a good person or a bad person. In our way of thinking, it makes sense that if you're good, you'll go to heaven. If you're bad, you'll go to hell. Simple as that. But let me turn your world upside down. All good people do not go to heaven. And all bad people do not go to hell. Shocking, isn't it? We're not saved by our works. And we are not lost by our works. When we speak of being saved, we mean that our life after we die, that is going to heaven, that's being saved. And our Savior is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other person, there's no other way. But let's go back to square one. Look over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is A-L-L. That word all is all-inclusive. There's no gender to that word. It includes males and females. All includes everyone, everywhere. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. And we're born that way. and we've got to get rid of it somewhere down the line while we're alive. Everybody. Romans 3:12 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, if God says there's not a single solitary one that does good, how do they say that the good are going to heaven when there's none good? That's going to vacate heaven pretty fast, isn't it? There's none good, no, not one. And then he tells us there in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. That eliminates everybody, doesn't it? Romans 3:29. All the world is guilty before God. Can we understand that? You and I are not the only ones. All the world is guilty before God. And then what? Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Now, we're all somewhat familiar with death and dying because everybody dies sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. Some people die young, others live to a ripe old age and die older. Romans 5:12 says that death passed upon all men. That's talking about mankind, not just the male of the species. Why? For that all have sinned. Do you remember Hebrews 9:27? We quoted that. It is appointed unto man once to die. But listen, let's dig a little deeper here. The death that Jesus is warning us about and talks to us about here in this text is not the death of the body. We usually think of the death of the body when we think of death, do we not? That's a temporary death. Do you remember the time when Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, died at Bethany? Jesus was gone. He was not there to heal him from his sickness. He died. They buried him in the Bethany graveyard. When Jesus got there, he had been buried 4 days. Dead and buried. 4 days. Now, Jesus told Martha and Mary, remember the words? Thy brother shall rise again. Now, we're at a tomb. There's a dead body in that tomb. Been in there dead for 4 days. And Jesus Christ is saying that guy is going to rise again. So the death that he died is not a permanent death, is it? It's a temporary death. In fact, all death is temporary except the second one. We'll get to that in a moment. He told his disciples there in John chapter 11 and verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And this temporary first death is spoken of more than once in the Bible as sleeping. Now, our physical death only lasts until the resurrection. And then you wake up, and death is behind you. You've already experienced it. You won't experience it anymore. It's done and over with. Now, the death that Jesus Christ our Lord is warning us about here is the second death. That's the death of the soul. And that is the death that is eternal. And that's the one that we should fear more than anything else. It pertains to the immortal soul of man. There is no resurrection from this second death. It's permanent. Now, the first death is bad enough, but it won't hold a candle to the second one. Everlasting torment in the lake of fire doesn't sound very appealing to me. The question is, how can we avoid that lake of fire? Basically, there's only one way, and that one way is a person, and that person is God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The same one that was crucified, died on that cross of Calvary so many years ago, remember? Now, on the morning of the third day, when the women went to the tomb, his body was not there. He was gone. Where'd he go? He rose from the dead. They saw him. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He was seen of many, over 500 at one time. He appeared to many people, and then he ascended back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high, where he ever lives as our great high priest to make intercession for us. And he's cornered the market on salvation and resurrection, by the way. Now somebody will ask, well, why would God want to save a wretch like me? What makes me so important, so special, that God would want to save me? In my mind, I go back to the time in 1940 when I was a 14-year-old boy. And I would wonder, why would God save a wretch like me? And the only answer that I can come up with, a little four-letter word spelled L-O-V-E. I don't know why, but God loves you. Amen. He really does. I got to thinking about that. Maybe it's because we look like him. He made us in his image, after his likeness, did he not? look in the mirror. John 3:16 here sheds a little light on it. Tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 36 of that same chapter says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Think of that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned. How do you get salvation by baptism out of that? Yet there are multitudes of people today, churches, you throw a rock and hit that Church of Christ over yonder, you go over there and ask them for a copy of what they believe, their articles of faith, and it will say written in there, and another one over here on this side of us, you must be baptized in order to be saved. Bless their hearts. That's not a quotation from the Bible. If you think you can get to heaven by joining the Bible Baptist Church, you got another thing coming, I'll tell you. It won't get you off the ground when the trumpet sounds for the rapture. Somebody comes along, salvation by good works. Makes sense, doesn't it? You be a good boy, you'll be saved. Do good. Where's the scripture for it? It sounds reasonable, but where's the scripture for it? What have you done that was so good that you would merit and deserve to be saved? Go back over your past and write down all the good things that you've ever done and try to pick out the very one that you can show St. Peter at the Golden Gates when you get to heaven and say, here it is. Then somebody says, well, we're saved by keeping the law. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. So you don't speed. So you don't run the stop sign out here on the corner. That's going to take you to heaven. Well, that's better than trusting in the blood of some Jew that died 2,000 years ago, they'll tell you. Big deal. Next stop, heaven. Now, this is about believing. He that believeth on the Son. The object of our faith, the object of our believing is Jesus Christ. You can't say that loud enough or long enough. It's just pure and simple Jesus. Now, this is kind of simple, summarized in Romans 10:9. Remember that? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what we're talking about, being saved. And here in Romans 10, look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on him? If you're not saved, it means, as Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask, and it shall be given. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to save you. Ask him. You have not because you ask not. Ask, and ye shall receive. Now, if we get saved, what are we saved from, and what are we saved to? There's a from and a to in salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, death is not a fantasy. Death is a reality. Death is a reality. I'm still sentimental enough that when the 5th of the month rolls around, I try to drive over yonder to Miramar National Cemetery, sit out there and talk to Rita for a while. I know there's only one third of her there. We're body, soul, and spirit. I know where her soul and spirit are, but her body's still out there. I got one third of her still down here. Haven't seen it in nearly 11 months, but it's all right. It's a reality. Listen, if my religion does not tell me where I'm going when I die, I'm going to change religions. I want one that gives assurance. And my old King James Bible gives me just that. Now, you can read these other versions if you want to, but I want one that I can have confidence in, one that I can trust, one I can rely on, one that answers my questions about death and eternity. And I want one that's compatible with the Spirit of God, because all I can do is read it, and in reading it, it's the same as reading Gone with the Wind, for goodness sake. It's just a story. But what makes the Bible real is the Holy Spirit, the divine author of it. He is not dead. He didn't write it and walk away and live off the royalties of it for the rest of his life. He's still alive. And he lives within my heart. And he interprets the Word of God to me. And if I read something in there that I don't understand, I ask him about it. Usually get an answer. Usually. Now, my Bible tells me that if I believe in and trust and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that when I die, my immortal soul will go immediately to God in heaven. And I believe with all of my heart that should I drop dead now before my body would hit the floor down here, I would be with God. That's what I believe. Now, I'll go there. Why? Because of the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on that old cross of Calvary when he was crucified. That blood atoned for all of my sins. My sins have been blotted out. They've been forgiven. They have been removed. I have been cleansed from sin. I have been born again. I am a child of God. I wish everybody was. And I know that when I enter heaven, I will enter into the presence of God, clothed in those white garments of imputed righteousness. And there I will enjoy the company of God and the angels and all the saints of all time, along with all of my friends and loved ones forevermore. Now, going to heaven is a choice that everybody has to make. If you want to go to heaven, you will choose to go to heaven. If you don't want to go to heaven, you can choose to go to hell. God has given us that right. But, you know, I have a reason for wanting to go to heaven. That's where Jesus is. I've got a lot of loved ones up there. And besides that, I don't know about you, but I don't like to hurt. Now, you may get pleasure out of pain, but I'm very sensitive. I don't like to hurt. And when I start hurting, I look for some kind of salve or pill or some type of medicine I can take to quit hurting. And, you know, I've suffered a few little burns in my lifetime. Nothing that ever was bad enough to even leave a scar, I don't think. But, you know, all of us pick up the hot handle of a skillet or something like that sometime in our lives. And the pain that comes from burning is terrible. You hear about people every once in a while getting burned in their house or burned in a car wreck or something like that. Some of y'all may remember Ted Hicks, pastor at Calvary Baptist Church over there in National City. He's an old Texas boy that back during Prohibition was running whiskey up in Oklahoma. That's back in the days of Model T's or Model A's, something like that. And Ted's out there, he had his Model A filled up with bootleg whiskey, homemade moonshine, and the revenues was after him, and he was trying to outrun them on those country roads up there in southern Oklahoma. And he was driving that car as fast as it would go. Now up there, the roads, those country roads, unpaved, were sectioned off. You got a section of land, and the road would run right along the side of this, and when it got down here to the end of that section, it would turn to the right or turn to the left. And he got down to one of those places where you turn, and he turned his car all right, but he turned it too sharp, and it turned over and rolled. And when it rolled right on top of him. And he lay under there, and he'd been running it for a long time, and the water in the old radiator was just boiling. And he spinned under that car, and that scalding water out of the radiator was running down on his face and his chest and all of this. And he said he went through hell. And I imagine he did. It even sounds painful just talking about it, doesn't it? But burning is not fun. And I just can't imagine, I can't begin to imagine the pain of burning continually, day and night, forever and ever, with no relief in sight. in a lake of fire. And that person is doing it deliberately. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it willingly. They're doing it by choice. To me, that is pure insanity. Can you imagine someone choosing pain, suffering, agony, and everything that accompanies it when they could have peace and pleasure and happiness free of charge? No price tag. So you see, I just can't imagine. My mind just won't grasp a person's mentality that would choose to go to hell when they could choose to go to heaven. Why? God still invites, as in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There's only one person can forgive sins. That's Jesus. There's only one person that can give eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer. It's been a wonderful day. We appreciate you being here. Think about what I said tonight. Let the Holy Spirit reveal some of the thoughts that came into your mind while you were listening to what I was saying, and apply that to those friends, neighbors, loved ones, companions in the workforce, people that you know. You don't want to see them die without God and without Christ. You don't want to picture them throughout eternity suffering in that lake of fire, that second death, where there's no relief for their souls. Tell them about Jesus. Let them make up their own minds, but tell them about Jesus, because He's the only one. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight to give You thanks for Your great love for us, in that You saved us from our sins. We thank You for washing them away. Thank You for the new birth. Thank You for making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Father, tonight, we would ask You to put a burden on our hearts and on our souls to share Christ with others, people that we know. You've given us the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that also includes our friends and neighbors here. We realize that a burden can only come from You. So we open our hearts tonight and ask You to give us compassion for those that are lost. Give us compassion for those that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And give us the gumption to get out and tell them about Christ. Bless the sick of our congregation. Minister to us in Your goodness and grace. Meet with us again this coming Wednesday night as we have our Bible study. Watch over us. Keep us in Your love and care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you real good.